Thanks for checking out this message from Radiant Life Church. Grab your Bible, and a pad of paper, and a pen. Let's dive in.
Amen. Well, good morning. Now, I'm curious, Pam, if you were wearing your white pirate shirt, would you still put ketchup all over your steak? Because the ketchup and the white seems like a bad idea. Yeah. Okay. You gotta be strategic. So I'm grateful. Pastor Pam actually threatened to buy me one of those pirate shirts because I was teasing her a little bit about it. And that and those yellow pants that I got, that would be like, I don't know if I would survive that. But hey, my name is Josh. I am the pastor of ministries here at Radiant Life Church. Glad you could be with us as we continue on in our series, exploring together the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. You can turn in your text to John chapter 13 while I give one more shameless plug for the Radiant Institute. We're going to do one more informational meeting on August 11, but we're gearing up for this. I know we've had some people apply already, but the Radiant Institute is a nine-month experience for you to come together and really learn how to read Scripture in context and how to understand the overall narrative of Scripture. So again, Pastor Brandon in particular likes to talk about nerding out, you know, in the Bible. This gives you the tools to do that. So if that is of interest to you, you can scan that QR code and that'll take you to the application. Otherwise, on August 11, we will have one more informational meeting before we launch in the middle of September. But we're going to jump into John chapter 13 today. We're gonna explore this chapter together. And the title of the message is, What About Them? What About Them? So if you're there, we will start right at the very beginning of John chapter 13, but there's been a transition that has happened, right? Pastor Pam alluded to this last week, right? We went from the public ministry of Jesus to now a little bit more of just kind of the private conversations that he has with his disciples over the last couple weeks of his life. And even some of the language is really interesting because you'll see multiple times in the first half of the Gospel of John where Jesus will make the statement or John will make the statement, the hour has not come or it's not time yet. But then we see this transition in chapters 11 and 12 and on multiple occasions now Jesus says, the hour has now come. So that we see that transition play out even. He's like, all right, he's been waiting. Now is the time, and we see that happen as we get into these later chapters in the Gospel of John. So we're going to join Jesus and his disciples for an event that really, if you've been in church world for a while, you've probably heard this. Quite frankly, in the 9 years I've been here, I've probably taught on this passage at least a half dozen times. We didn't plan it. I do know how to write more than one message, I promise you. They looked at the calendar. They're like, well, Josh knows how to do this one, so let's have him teach John 13. No, it wasn't like that. It just fell out that way. So, but John 13 is a really good chapter. So I hope that we can journey through this well together. It says this, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come. There's that change in language there that we were just talking about, to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and dry them with the towel tied around him. Again, if you've heard any teachings on this passage, you know this was typically the role for lowest servant on the totem pole, right? Feet were nasty, right? Like you have the new guy do that. But Jesus gets up and he performs this lowly task. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing, you don't realize now, but after you will understand. You will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Now, Peter knew who Jesus was, Right? It was earlier when Peter made the declaration, you are the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. You're the one we've been waiting for. So Peter knew who Jesus was, and I imagine he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is like low guy on the totem pole. You're the boss. I don't want to participate in it. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's totally out of order. But Jesus says, no, no, no. It says, like, this is something that I have to do. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet then, but also my hands and my head. One who is bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. He knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. Pause. I didn't count the number of times, but it stood out to me a little bit that John references Judas quite a bit throughout his gospel. And typically in the context of Jesus knowing that Judas was going to be the one to betray him. Right? Jesus wasn't surprised by this, right? We have the benefit of being able to look back on this and see how the story plays out, right? To most of Jesus' disciples, to most of the people around, this would have been a surprise, was not a surprise to Jesus. Jesus knew who would betray him. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if what? You are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe that I am he. Truly, I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. Put yourself in the disciples' position. Here you are hanging out with your 12 best friends, right? You've been doing life together for the last few years. You've seen some really cool things together. And now here, Jesus, your Lord and Master, first of all, he totally upsets the apple cart by carrying out this function that would have normally been a servant. And then you're just hanging out at dinner and he's like, oh yeah, so one of you is gonna betray me. Where does your mind go? I mean, I think I'd be like them, right? And you start to look around, and you're like, which one of it is? Is it Chad? Chad, you know, Chad said that really mean thing to me the other day. Maybe it's Chad. Chad is gonna betray me. No, Chad would never do that, bro. You're good. You're good. Who is it? Right? And you start to ask these questions and you have this unsettled sense within you. So you're looking around. And then you've got this, one of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, which is the way that John references himself. We read it. Now, here's the thing. We read it as kind of arrogant. I actually think there's humility in there that he doesn't name himself, but we can fight about that later if you want. He's reclining by Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to have him find out who it was. Right? From everything we read about Peter, right? Peter was not subtle. So let's imagine this together, right? We're all hanging out at dinner. John is right by Jesus. Peter's like over across the way, right? And what is he doing? I was like, hey, you know, like what is Peter doing here to try to get John to ask Jesus? Because they're all freaking out. They're like, well, who is it? Who is it? Find out. Jeff, you go ask him, right? I don't know. I think it would be kind of comical to witness. So John leaned back against Jesus and asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus replied, he's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it. When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, what happened? Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "What you're doing, do quickly." None of those reclining at the table knew why he said this to him. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. So Jesus washes their feet. They're sitting down, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. They're all looking around. Who is it? Who is it? You know. So John asks, and then Jesus tells them, and they still don't get it. Like, I love this. The disciples prove that there's hope for me, right? Because they're really slow sometimes. Jesus told them, it's the one that I give the bread after I've dipped it. He gives the bread to Judas. And they're like, oh, he's got to go buy some stuff. Like, that's the way that their brain plays it out. I don't know. It's fascinating to me. And after he received the piece of bread, he immediately left, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I like how Jesus just kind of like slides that right in there. But this is like game changing and kind of upsets the apple cart on a lot of the ways that they would have thought, right? It's about all these different rules that I keep, all these things. Like, no, you want people to know that you're with me? You will demonstrate that by how well you love one another. You can know everything in the world about the Bible. You could know so much about Jesus, it's like leaking out your ears, which sounds really gross now that I said it out loud, right? But you could know all that stuff. If you're not loving people well, you're missing it. You're missing it. Jesus, this is the way that you're going to prove it, by how well you love one another. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Which, if you understand tradition on how Peter was killed, he meant that pretty literally. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you? No, I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Have you ever made any bold declarations about things you would do for Jesus? It's like, oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. Oh, Jesus, anything for you. That's what Peter did. And very shortly thereafter, what Jesus said came true. Not only did he not follow through on his bold declarations of what he would do for Jesus, he totally denied even knowing Jesus. And this is the group of people that Jesus was hanging out with. But I think if we look at John chapter 13, right, particularly the washing of the disciples' feet, particularly this new command that Jesus gives us, right? Sometimes we might recoil and we think, well, you know, hey, it's really easy for me to love somebody like super awesome, like my buddy Andrew right here. Like Andrew's easy to love, right? Like, but scripture says, hey, if I only love the people that are kind to me or good to me, right? Like, what credit do we get for that? Right? So it's easy to love him, but what about other people? So now I think we have to ask the question, Lord, do I have to love and serve them? What about those people that, you know, they betrayed me? Jesus says, yep. What about the people that rejected or denied me? Jesus says, yep. What about everybody else? Jesus says, that's the part where you guys say, yep. Like, that was, sorry, I could have cued you better. That was That's on me. Everybody. What we see in John 13 is this example. Jesus willingly served his followers who, even there, when Jesus is arrested, all of his followers take off. Yeah, we can pick on Judas because he betrayed Jesus. We can pick on Peter because he denied Jesus, but all of them took off. Right? In his time of crisis, they were like, no, and they're gone. And this is who Jesus washed the feet of. His followers, his betrayer, and his denier. And then he told us that that's the example that we're supposed to follow. Let's bounce back to a couple of verses in chapter 13. He says, I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. And then in verse 17, what does it say? If you know these things, you are blessed if what? You do them. So he gives us an example, and then he challenges us to live into those things. So here's what we're going to do for the rest of our message time here today. We're going to actually create some space for you to just engage with the Holy Spirit. Because we could talk about this all day long, right? I would rather we actually just do something with it, okay? So we're going to create some space. Now, for some of you, this might be a foreign concept, right? Like, well, what does that mean, right? We're just going to kind of together, we're going to quiet ourselves. Are we going to get shut off of the interwebs if we play something? Okay. We're just going to create quiet space. I'm going to encourage you, take some deep breaths. Quiet your heart, quiet your mind. And I just want you to let Holy Spirit kind of bring to mind, is there somebody in your life who has denied, rejected, or betrayed you? Or maybe, I had a gentleman come up to me after first service, and he says, actually, I'm the one who rejected people. Maybe that's you, right? Let Holy Spirit do that. But maybe you sit there, and as you're quiet, maybe a face or a name just comes to mind. Just make note of that. Maybe nothing happens. You're sitting there like, oh, it's broken. It's not working. Like, what's happening? It's okay. I would encourage you to spend time over this next week and really just create that space. Say, all right, Lord, is there somebody in my life that you want me to pay particular attention to? So let's just do that. We're gonna just sit here for a few moments and just say, all right, Holy Spirit, is there somebody in particular you want to bring to mind? Kind of stay in that same reflective posture. And if somebody came to mind, now I want you to ask Holy Spirit to show you what's the way that you can serve that person in some way this week. What's something you can do as a tangible expression of love, humility, in service. Now the hard part is now you got to go do it. The reason I specified this week is if you're anything like me, you can very quickly rationalize away the things that Holy Spirit says to you. You can come up with 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't do this thing. Now, I do want to give one disclaimer, right? If you're really wrestling with something and you're just in a place where you've got serious hurts and pains from somebody that betrayed or rejected you, denied you, I want to encourage you as you move forward, right? Whatever Holy Spirit brought to mind, bring some people in just to speak wisdom, right? Grab a couple of people that you love and trust and kind of lay that out before them. But Jesus says, blessed are we if we do it. So it's my hope and prayer that each one of us, right, we're challenged, right? And maybe we've never been betrayed, denied, or rejected. Then you just say, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to serve this week? And you ask that question, and then guess what you do? You grab a towel and you go do it. We want to be people that live into the example that Jesus called us to. I'm going to invite the worship team to the stage. We're gonna sing a song called Scars, right? And again, let's rewind. Jesus is sitting here. He does this humble act of service, knowing that these guys are gonna bail on him, betray him, deny him. And then what he does in the next several chapters is he goes and he dies for them and for you and me. Right, so when we think about the extent to which Jesus loved us, man, we sing it in this song. There's that line, how great is your love? That's the same love we're called to extend to the people around us. Even the people that have denied, rejected, or betrayed us. So I'm going to invite our prayer teams down to either side of the stage. Because again, maybe for some of you, right, like even thinking about that person just brings a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. I'm going to encourage you to come, just let our prayer teams minister to you in this time. Maybe you're wrestling with what it looks like. Allow them to lift you up before our Heavenly Father and pray for you. But I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're gonna sing a few songs. And I love all the ones that Holy Spirit laid on JB and the team's heart, because I think they tie into this idea. But don't walk out of here and forget, right? We're actually called to do something with this. Okay, so let's worship God together a little bit more here through song.
Thanks for listening to this message from Radiant Life Church. To get to know us better, check out theradiantlife.church. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.